with my good friend Marcel, and together we are presenting to you the Jazz and Grass and Other Stuff 2 podcast. Welcome back.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the new year, and Jazz and Grass is back. We've been neglectful parents for the last couple months, but we're ready to hang out again.
Yeah, we took an unexpected hiatus. And why was that, you ask? I don't know. I don't really know the reason. I think I got lazy. That's the reason.
A combination of laziness and busyness. It's important that you know that mommy and daddy still love you, though. And we're here for you.
Mommy will take very good care.
So you
I'm pretty sure I just answered.
Yeah, you're more of a mommy for sure. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Well, yeah, now everyone knows the truth about our relationship, too. That's wonderful.
Yep. We are parents to this Jazz and Grass thing. But what's been up? What have you been doing? Like, it's been, like, 3 or 4 months since the last episode.
Yeah, it has. So, all right, it would be ridiculous if I didn't mention one thing, though. Jazz and Grass did hit 1.5K. So, hey, let's all be pumped about that. Of course, if you're new to this podcast and you're listening to the first episode of season 2, I guess we can call it that, right? Is that fair? Can I call it that?
Yeah, S2.
me and Lyman, we run an Instagram account, basically. It's called Jazz and Grass. And every single day we post a new lick, and we just hit 1,000 and a half followers.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, you know, we always record these podcasts, ahead of time. Maybe it's gone even farther up since, you know, by the time that we release this, but who knows?
Yeah. Happy New Year in the beginning of December.
I've been up to some other stuff too, of course. My whole life is in Jazz and Grass and recording licks. Although I hope everyone is enjoying all the licks that are coming out right now, which I don't even know what they are because I haven't written them yet. the magic of pre-recorded stuff. But of course I've been doing a ton of stuff with my YouTube channel, and so many new opportunities have come in that I'm sort of just barely taking advantage of, and I would love to talk about it, but I guess it comes out in the future, so I won't be spoiling anything, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut. You go check out my YouTube channel. You can see what that's all about, but there's definitely new sponsorships and new companies that I'm working with. That I'm really excited to bring you. So check that out.
Mm-hmm. I've been checking it out periodically, and it looks good. So you can get a 10 out of 10 recommended from me to all 10 of you that listen.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, Lyman, what have you been up to?
I took the month of November off off of gigging, I should say. No Gig November. It's a new thing.
Lots of people were doing No Gig November, right? That's what all those memes are about?
Yeah, and NNN. No N Gig November. And so I just spent the month in putting in what I thought was going to be a ton of work, but it wasn't really a ton of work. It was recovering from the busy summer that didn't end until beginning of November.
Ugh. But you're rich now.
Yeah, I have tens of dollars, maybe even dozens of dollars.
Yeah. Well, that's good for you. You're a jazz musician. In the bluegrass industry, there's only $10 and we all have to share it.
I played with a guy once who told me, you're going to love playing with me. You could make tens of dollars.
Did you?
Yeah, I made like 40 whole dollars.
That's sick, dude. I would love to see $40 sometime.
Mm-hmm. But I put in a little bit of work. I'm planning on launching a personal Instagram account. There's already some pictures there if you want to check it out. But there'll be like more Jazz and Grass styled stuff with, you know, me playing something, and then there'll be tab and notation above it, but it'll be a little bit more basic, like how I finger scales or what chords I like to use. And there'll be a little bit more breakdown, but keep on the lookout for those minute or so long lessons that are going to be on my Instagram account at Lyman Lipke Musician.
Yeah, that's sweet, dude. That's a good idea. I have a personal Instagram account, but I just use it for posting garbage. That's my secret. So yeah, if you want to see some hot cat pics, definitely check out the Lessons with Marcel Instagram. Lots of cool pictures of my cat.
I've been posting garbage on the Jazz and Grass account. Like, this is a small insider tip. Like, if you listen to this podcast and you found us through our Instagram, look at like some of my licks. You might be able to see my actual garbage can.
Sick. So, yeah.
There's some garbage.
Include the actual garbage can.
There's a little foam cooler in the corner too that you can see sometimes. It's totally a PBR brand foam cooler. I would like to reiterate, I'm nearly 4 years sober, so there's that.
Yeah, right. It's all Kool-Aid jammers in there.
Kool-Aid jammers. Wow. I haven't thought about that in a while.
Yeah, this for the month of December, for those of you who have followed Jazz and Grass for a long time, may notice that this is the first time I played a guitar that's not my normal acoustic guitar or my Telecaster. That I'm actually playing a different Martin guitar, and I'm playing a 1968 Martin D35 that I borrowed from a friend. It's a friend's grandfather's. My plan is to never give it back to him, and we'll see how that goes.
I had a violin like that I was never going to give back.
How did it go?
You got it back.
So there's not a lot of hope for me, you don't think?
I mean, attempt. Always attempt.
Yeah, definitely.
I like that violin. It said it was made in the, 1800s, but it was a fake from probably the early 1900s. But it was still a nice instrument. It was the nicest violin I've ever played.
There's a, actually, the guy who I'm borrowing the guitar for, he works for a violin repair shop here in Raleigh. There's a couple guys kind of in our friend group, in our little bluegrass crew, that that do that, make and repair violins. And they were telling me about all of the instruments that are printed as being like Stradivari violins. And there's thousands of them out there. And, kind of once a month, someone comes in and is like, all right, I'm going to retire on this one. I found this in the attic. And they have to, like, sit them down and be like, this is, like, from the 1970s or something. They have to be like, maybe it's worth a couple bucks. Because some of them are worth, like, maybe a couple grand or something. But they're not worth millions because there's not real Stradivari instruments. They're, like, some company that started printing that on there. And it's just such a shame. Can you imagine, like, that being your job? And they come to get these instruments appraised and you just have to be like, nope. I'll take it off your hands for, like, $200.
There's a certain type of person that gets off on having that type of job.
Yeah, that's true.
So, let me know if there are any applications, because that sounds dope. That sounds awesome.
If you want to crush dreams, you're like, yeah, put me in, coach, man. I can crush
professional dream crusher.
I'm imagining like a parent with like kids coming up and being like, I have this, Stradivari violin. And you're like, I got news for you. This is only worth $200. Also, your daughter, not very good at soccer. And your husband, he's not into you. You're just like, you just like go through the whole life and you're just like destroying everything. You're about to be fired from your job.
That's why I'd be good at that job, because I'm throwing in a bunch of extra stuff for free.
Yeah,
absolutely free.
Yeah, it's not just about the violin for you. You're like critiquing the whole life of the person. That's great, man. I'll let you know if there's any openings.
Appreciate that. But I've been working with a new singer-songwriter, like as a duo. Her name is Tyler King. She's absolutely wonderful. We're working on a new track right now, and that might actually be out when you're listening to this. If that's the case, the link will be in the description of this podcast and you'll be able to find it.
That's awesome.
So I wanted to shout her out because I believe in her and I believe in what she's got.
Yeah, totally. Speaking of recording projects, when are you going to drop that dubstep Christmas album that you keep talking about?
It's the 12 days of Christmas, so it will start being dropped like 15 or 16 days ago. Be able to find the link to that in the description as well.
Yeah, perfect. Wonderful. They'll definitely look back through all your stuff and they'll find that easily. Oh, man. Yeah, I did a recent gig with a new guy, a guy named Jeff Stickley. And that was a wonderful gig. We actually got called to fill in a slot for, you know, a friend's event that he runs. And he asked if I could, you know, come and play that gig with someone. So I called Jeff, and he plays bluegrass guitar, too. So it's just a bluegrass guitar duo thing. We both sang. We sang harmonies to each other. And it went off great. It's wonderful. If you're a fan of bluegrass and you're wondering why Jeff's name sounds familiar, he's the little brother of John Stickley, of John Stickley Trio. And they're a whole, you know, nationally touring act, and they're a big thing. But don't tell John I said it, but I really like Jeff's playing. Yeah, Jeff's the one who should be touring the country. But of course, you know, that would get me in trouble. And, you know, I don't want to sort of burn any bridges or anything. And that's why we're never going to post this podcast, and no one will ever hear me say those words.
Yeah. And nobody will say what I'm here to. I had a stroke. nobody's going to hear what I'm about to say next either. Do you call him Stick? Like Stick Stickley from the Nickelodeon.
That's so funny that you say that, because Jeff's like the biggest reason why anyone would know him is because he used to be the drummer for like an indie band here in Raleigh for like forever. And they like did some touring and stuff like that. I mean, like, I think most people who are a fan of his like know him from his drumming. And which is hilarious because his last name is Stickley. Like, you could call him Sticks, like the lamest drummer nickname he can actually have. And he was, you know, another project that's happening. Me and my friends, we started like a honky tonk band, like a country band. And we're talking about him playing drums for us. And we're already there, man. We're already talking about the nickname Sticks. We're miles ahead of you in this conversation.
Are you familiar with Stick Stickley?
Stick Stickley specifically? No, I'm not.
The popsicle stick used to be like a VJ on Nickelodeon.
No, I don't. I don't know that.
You could send them letters and stuff. Like, yeah. The 90s were a weird time, man.
Yeah, everything about the 90s, it just stops at Kool-Aid jammers and box tops for me. That's all I remember.
I saw a Got Milk commercial yesterday that was scaring children into drinking milk because their next door neighbor, Mr. Miller, doesn't drink milk. And he's a sickly old man. He waves at him, "Hi, kids." And he's about to lift up a wheelbarrow. And his arms come off. His arms just come up because he doesn't drink his milk.
Oh, man. Yeah. So that wasn't a paid sponsorship or anything, but drink your milk, kids.
I'm going to go as far to say as you shouldn't drink milk.
What? Wait, you want your arms to come off?
You take a calcium supplement. Like,
you don't abide by the propaganda of big milk.
No, big milk and suck on a cow's teat.
Oh, man, that's fighting words, man. This podcast is going to get shut down by big milk now.
My wife loves milk. It's her favorite drink. She drinks a lot of milk. And I am lactose intolerant, but the kind where, like, young dairy is what upsets my stomach. So cheese, if it's been, like, aged, like, at all, is fine. That sugar thing has broken down to something. I don't know. I don't read. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a milk scientist.
That's funny. I really don't like dairy either. I don't drink any milk. I don't really like cheese that much either.
Really?
Yeah, that's a true thing. However, I didn't. I never had coffee, and I remember we had that talk. And I recently started drinking coffee.
Really?
I did.
How do you drink your coffee?
From a cup.
Got him.
That's some real dad stuff. No, dude, we have like, I'll tell you our exact setup because I know nothing about coffee. We got one of those little things where you get the little stuff, you know, and you put it in the thing and you stab it.
The K-cups? A Keurig?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And we have like a medium roast and like a dark roast one. And get this. We were looking at, speaking of not liking dairy, we were looking at the creamer. And Houston was like, oh, we should probably get this one, like whatever, like, you know, dairy option that, you know, wasn't actually dairy, whatever fake creamer they had. She was like, this will probably be better. And I was like, but there's a Cheesecake Factory creamer. and so we got the Cheesecake Factory one because I thought it was funny. And it doesn't even taste like anything, man. Like, I was so disappointed. I was hoping it would taste like just like absurdly sugary, like a friggin' like,
strawberry cheesecake.
Yeah, right? No, it tastes like milk. I was like, why did I do this? Yeah.
I wanna get into some more territory that might get this podcast shut down. Non-dairy creamer, that powder stuff, is extremely flammable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, as long as you don't call for people to light it on fire, we should be okay. That's more like informationable. Or informationable. This is more like informational. You're just like, hey, it happens to be flammable. I'm not saying you should do anything about that. It just happens to be, right?
I'm absolutely saying you should not play with this stuff at home. Like, I just want to be clear at that. But you can do some cool stuff with it. It is very, very flammable.
Sick. Good to know. This is me steering the podcast a different direction so we don't get shut down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so how about that guitar stuff, man? I know, kind of maybe an unpopular opinion, but we should talk about guitars a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, for sure. Like, what guitar stuff have you been working on / listening to lately?
Yeah, let me show you exactly what I've been working on. Here we go. A callback to right before the podcast started, I was testing my guitar by playing Don't Stop Believin'. Guitar stuff. So, like I mentioned earlier, me and a bunch of bluegrass friends, we actually started a little honky-tonk band, and I'm playing Telly in that pretty much exclusively, and there's a couple songs I'm probably going to play some acoustic guitar on, but for the most part, I'm playing Telly, which means I really have to work out how all of this stuff works. And it's interesting.
You have two knobs now. You got one that makes it go big or small and one that makes it go low or high.
Yeah, right. And then I have two buttons on the floor. I mean, that's too complicated for me.
What do the buttons do? Like, what do the floor buttons do?
Oh, these are just, this is just like the amp control switch, right? So I don't have any pedals. Because it is real straight, like honky-tonk stuff, I guess if I was going to do anything, maybe through, like, my effects loop, I would toss a compressor. But that's probably it. Maybe, like a slapback or something. But that's not important. Yeah, anyway, my amp control, I have a switch on the right and a switch on the left, right? And the one on the left, or if I just have the one on the right engaged, it's my clean tone. The one on my left gives me my, like, crunch tone. And if I engage the switch on the right again, right, it gives me my full distortion. So for the most part, I'm either clean or I just have my, like, my medium crunch.
That's all you really need, right?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part. But yeah, you know, that's the thing about Telly that maybe people don't talk about. And maybe this is informational. So if I'm just on my clean tone and I'm playing country licks on the Telly, a lot of times people play that and they're like, wow, that is really bright and really like poppy and like a little too out front. And if you do exactly what I just did and you play it with a band, Yeah, it's way too much. You're way out in front, and you're kind of like covering up the other instruments, and it sounds like you're just a treble machine. And you can go to your amp and you can roll off the treble a little bit, and it's still going to happen. You're still going to be there. With a telly, with like a good telly, what sounds better is if you actually take your tone knob and you put it on like half. And that, mm-hmm. that will make you sound much more like a normal guitar. Not that you want to sound like a normal guitar, but it'll get you closer to that sound. So that's with my tone knob actually halfway down. Like a lot more than you would think. This isn't just like turning it down a little bit. It's halfway. And then the other thing you can do is if you turn your volume knob back just a hair, normally you get a little bit of a treble roll off. And you might notice that when your tone is like really distorted and you roll down the volume just a little bit, sometimes it kind of cleans up the tone. It just takes some of that edge off, I feel like. So I like to roll back my volume just a hair too. So there's an idea for actually giving you a usable tele sound.
Mm-hmm. Have you experimented with rolling your volume like to half or like 3 or 4 with the medium crunch engaged?
Let's do it now. All right.
Let's see.
So this is my volume halfway, and this is my distortion like halfway. I guess that's not too loud. And that's my tone all the way on. So if my tone rolled off as well. Are you trying to get me into some jazzy territory?
No. I just wanted to hear how it sounded and how you perceive the sound and what you feel about it.
I don't know. I mean, it feels like I want to roll it off like more and more, like my tone knob. That was terrible. But yeah, that's the idea.
There's much you can do with like gain staging like that. Like I'm constantly experimenting with amount of crunch and amount of volume knob. But what were you going to ask me to play?
Oh, I was going to say play some real jazz just as a quick palate cleanser for the people.
Almost got it. My tone down a little bit more. I'm playing a Squire Stratocaster, and the configuration I like for jazz is the second configuration. So that's the neck pickup and the middle pickup together. And I like to run my middle pickup at about 3.5, or my neck pickup at about 3.5, and my middle pickup at about 4.5.
What are your amp settings?
Let's take a look. My amplifier is a compressor into an EQ, so a pre-amplified EQ, and then this plugin called Fruity Blood Overdrive. And that's at post gain minus 0.17, 999, repeating, of course. My preamp is at 0.374994. And I've got some of the low end rolled off post EQ and a tick of the high end rolled off. post EQ. And pre EQ, I basically have just a bandpass filter. So it's just like a little bit of crunch.
Now everyone's going to run out and they're going to sound exactly like you, Lyman. You gave them too many details.
I'll give you the exact patcher preset. Like if you have FL Studio, you can have my amplifier.
Yeah, I'm actually running through a real amp because I'm no schmo. Just kidding. Most of the time when I record electric guitar stuff, it's all modeled on my on Studio One is what I use, right? But yeah, I have a Fender amp, an FM212, right? If you're playing country, you need a Fender amp. I don't have the normal, what's it called? Doesn't matter. but for my clean sound in my electric sound, they are actually really similar. I normally leave my my bass and my mids right in the middle, and then I roll off my my highs a little bit. It's kind of a similar thing that you're doing with the tone knob when you get this kind of sound. If your amp has any like mid contour options or anything like that, turn them off. Turn on your reverb to probably more than a reasonable amount, and that's probably pretty close to the sound. Right now, my distorted sound actually has the mids boosted just a little bit, but I think that's just because of the room I was in earlier, and I adjusted it. Normally, they're all, pretty straight.
12 o'clock is always a good starting place on any amplifier or EQ. Like, always start at 12 o'clock and then change from there. That was something that took me a really long time to learn.
Yeah, you know, people don't see that with the knobs on the guitar, too. That's the exact same kind of, like, trap that people fall into on the telly. They're like, oh, tone should just be all the way on. And that's just not true most of the time.
That's how you get max tone. What are you talking about?
Oh, man. Wait, no. If I was a character in a fighting game, like a side-scroller Sega Genesis fighting game, my name would be Max Tone.
With two X's.
Yeah, Max Tone with two X's. And I would have a guitar on my back, and like my special move, you know, like when my meter was full, I would play like a power chord, and then you know, like fire would shoot out or something sweet. Max Tone.
Yeah, like I like to start at 5 on my tone knob most of the time. If I need a little bit more, like I'll give it more. Thing I've noticed with strats, at least the ones that I've played, is that the bridge pickup has no tone knob. You cannot do anything to you're just gonna have max tone all the time. Attempt at the Ren and Stimpy theme song.
Yeah. What's that guy's name?
Oh, I don't know who did that.
Oh, he's a rockabilly guy. It's not Reverend Horton Heat. Is it Reverend Horton Heat? It's not Reverend Horton Heat.
I don't know. We live in the future. I can Google this.
That's true. You can Google it.
Who did?
Doesn't it change keys up now?
Yes.
This is what the people pay for.
Yeah. Die screaming Lederhosens. That's the band that did it.
bizarre. I wonder who the guitar player was. I swear it was a rockabilly guy, like someone real. That's weird.
Maybe it's Die Screaming Lederhosen because it's German. Obama Co. employees. What that is. Oh, they're an animation studio. So I guess some guys at the animation studio recorded the song.
Interesting.
And that's my basic level of research knowledge that you should all take as fact.
Oh, yeah. I'd take it 100% as fact. I think it's pretty indisputable at this point.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But yeah, like at this point, we've talked some guitar stuff.
Well, yeah, wait. Should I get my acoustic guitar and talk about where I like all my like volume and tone settings on that?
Yes, 100%. How many knobs does your acoustic guitar have?
Real talk, like my one with the actual pickup, like not the one that has no pickup.
Yeah.
So it's got like a built-in preamp kind of dealy. So it's got a lot of settings in there. So I can mess with like the compression, and then it's got like the imaging from a bunch of different microphones. And on each of those, I have EQ settings and so on and so forth. It gets really complicated really fast. But there's way more that you can do on my acoustic guitar than you can do on like either one of our electric guitars, which is weird.
That's hilarious.
Hey, I would like to talk about the back of the electric guitar for a second. I just held it up even though you can't see me. The band that I'm practicing with, we rented a rehearsal space to practice in, and I wasn't thinking about it at all because it's been cold. I mean, it snowed like crazy a couple of days ago, and we were in there in the middle of the snow, and we were, you know, playing some like Ernest Tubb or whatever, Buck Owens. And about halfway through the rehearsal, I realized that I was wearing it's actually my dad's old denim jacket, and it's got like hard metal buttons on it. And I looked at the back of my telly, and there's already some dents. And I was like, oh, well, man, like I just got started on my buckle rash. Like there was, you know, there's nothing you can do. But it was funny to like be halfway through and realize like, oh, that's what's happening.
I've got a little thing on the back that I can unscrew and I can get into the guitar from the back. If you didn't know, that's like a common Strat feature.
I can put strings through my guitar. Yeah, do you leave that plate on or do you take it off?
Yeah, I leave it on.
Oh, you leave
I'm
it on.
I'm one of those guys.
Look at you, you're fancy.
It makes things, like, I like to get in there and adjust the springs for my tremolo arm. I've talked at great length about that, so I don't need to talk about it anymore. If you want to listen to that, like, there's a couple podcasts where I talk at great length. But I do like to get in there and adjust the springs and the tension. So it might be easier if I just left the back plate off, but I don't want to.
Hey, man, that was good. That was a telly player and a Strat player talking. And, you know, keeping rational, not getting in any fights. I'm not talking trash about the other instrument.
Yes, like learn from this, fellow young people.
Yeah, but don't learn from Lyman because he's just a stupid Strat player.
Yeah. You've got a record coming out soon, don't you?
Do I have a record coming out?
Do we have a record coming out?
Our record we have coming out? Yeah. Hopefully very, very soon. If not already out when this comes out. Although I doubt it'll be that fast. I think it's going to take a little bit longer. But yeah, we talked about on the podcast before. God, when was that? Was that September or so? Me and Lyman are both from Bellingham, Washington. And I got to go back and visit. And unfortunately, we had a friend pass while we were down there. And so we kind of got an old band together and we recorded a bunch of songs. to put together an album. So yeah, we're releasing the Oh Jerry EP here pretty soon. I have all the tracks. I'm just mixing and mastering right now. And when we get the artwork and everything finalized, we're going to put that on Spotify and you'll be able to check that out. So I'll let you know when that happens. I'm thinking of doing it through my personal Spotify, just so I don't have anything else tied to the old one. But that's it. That's a conversation for another time. But yeah.
Yeah. Like, this is the first time we've been on a project together in many years.
Yeah. I guess we did do some recordings with that band together, but it was never a full album. It was just like more stuff that we were submitting to festivals to like demo our stuff. But yeah, man, when's the last time we actually recorded something together? Maybe we never have.
We never went to a studio. We were always recording in your home studio.
Yeah, right.
But we haven't even played a gig together since like 2015 or 2016.
Yeah, I've definitely been on stage and you've like been present and sat in for a song or two. But I guess that would have been back then, right? That would have been like 2016 or something.
So this is the first musical thing we've done together in like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, because let's see, it's 2018 right now. It's about to be 2019, but I've been doing lessons with Marcel pretty seriously for like almost 3 years now. So that means that I wouldn't have been gigging as much right when that started. So yeah, that makes sense. About 2015, 2016. Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Happy New Year, by the way. It is 2019.
Yeah, that's right. It is 2019 right now. Whoops. Happy New Year.
Speaking of 2019, what are our goals for Jazz and Grass, and what are our personal goals? Like, what are we trying to do?
Yeah, I think we should. I don't know. Get an office building.
Yes.
Maybe get some assistants. Interns, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Send your application. Link below.
Yeah, become an intern at Jazz and Grass Industries.
Jazz and Grass Industries.
I don't know. Should we invest in oil? Is oil out?
I think we should invest in Bitcoin.
Yeah, yeah. Now is a great time to buy Bitcoin. Yeah. Let's convert everything in the Jazz and Grass Fund, which is like 10 cents and some like stale Cheetos. Let's convert that all to Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to make a killing.
No, for real though, our goals. So moving forward with the podcast, you're probably going to see more sponsors because we are getting some sponsorship deals for the podcast. So don't be alarmed if you see any ads. Please listen to those ads. Hey, maybe go to, some of those websites. Maybe check out some of those products. And, then maybe we won't die of poverty.
Mm-hmm. I'm quite hungry at this point.
But we're going to try to keep this podcast going. We
got to do it weekly, every 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Are we just going to decide right now? I think we should do every 2 weeks. I think that was a more reasonable format.
Mm-hmm.
And then our seasons will turn out to be relatively the same length as well.
Yeah, 24 episodes. Same as last season.
Yeah. So, you can expect to see one of these every 2 weeks. If we're going to talk about guitar stuff, we're going to talk about a lot of whatever we want. Depending on how many things we have going on, things will get more structured or less structured. I know I've heard from some of you guys that you really like the episodes where we like told stories about like bad gig experiences, and some of you have liked episodes that were more structured. So, I mean, if you're going to shoot us a message on Instagram or something, please let us know what you like so we can make that happen and we can keep doing that. And actually there is another way to communicate with us. Isn't there, Lyman?
Yes. I forgot to do this in the intro because we haven't done it for so long, but, you can actually call or text us. We have a voicemail box. And that number is, can I remember the number? 724 724-257-1046. That's 724-257-1046. That'll be in the description.
I'm very impressed with you. I don't even know the phone number. I never knew the phone number.
Yeah, you can call or text us. We'll answer your question on the podcast. If you want to yell at us, we'll play it on the podcast. And accept your beatings, your verbal beatings. At least I will.
Yeah, I'm a little too famous to accept any beatings.
Yeah. You're going to get a clap back.
Oh, man.
But yeah, like the podcast, like every 2 weeks, probably going to tell some more gig stories, structure out some more like instructional casts for you. Talking about, you know, specific guitar related things.
Yeah, definitely. And hopefully we can do some more gear related things too. We'll see. Like I said in this episode, I really don't use a lot of pedals, so it would be really fun to invest in a couple of those like pocket pedals, like the, you know, really tiny little guys. And yeah, maybe it would be fun if we both like got a bunch of those and then we played with them during the podcast. I don't know, just an idea.
Yeah. How do you feel about a $150 pedal board challenge?
Yeah, dude, that's a sick idea too. We should do a challenge. Yeah. I think that's a really cool idea.
Yeah. Guest host Miles Harris and I have been talking about that for quite some time. So let's all three do it together and see what we come up with.
Yeah, man. Let's all three do it together.
All three of us that have never been on the podcast at the same time ever.
That's true. The three of us haven't. Yeah, that's true. Moving into the future, hopefully we have more guest spots here on the podcast. We've been talking about that a lot too, and we really want to make that happen for y'all.
Do you want to be a guest on the podcast? Call or text us, 724-257-1046, and tell us why. Tell us why you should be a guest, and if your reason's good enough, like, let's see what happens.
Yeah. Acceptable reasons would be, like, you're a better guitar player than us. Although that's not possible. I think Lyman is the best guitar player I know, except for that one guy I sent you a video of the other night.
which guy was it? Was it that that DM on Instagram, that DM request?
No, it was the guy on YouTube that was playing all the different, like, he played like walking bass, and then he played like the chord melody stuff. Yeah, that got crazy.
And then he sang at the same time.
Yeah, who sings?
Like, I can understand, you know, singing and playing this chord. Maybe this chord, if you want to get fancy. But, like,
if you're doing in church.
Walking bass. Walking bass and chord melody stuff while singing. You're crazy. You're crazy, man.
Yeah. I've got some practice exercises for that. First you want to learn a basic chord melody solo, something like
this is the copy strike shutdown episode.
Yeah. Yeah, this is of all the things we could have been shut down for this episode, it's actually all of my classic rock riffs.
What about the Instagram account? Are we going to do anything special with the Instagram account this year?
Well, that's a big thing. We keep talking about doing something special for a certain subscriber number, but those numbers come and go, and we never do anything. So maybe for 2K, we should do something. Yeah, I mean, it depends when that happens. It would be really funny and cool if we could meet up at some point. There was talk of me going to Arizona, but that's not going to happen. So maybe sometime in the new year, I'll visit Arizona because I have family there. So it makes sense for me to visit Lyman and we can do that.
And I for sure want to check out North Carolina for a little bit. So the meeting is going to happen. It's just a question of when.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I don't want to see him that bad, so, you know, like, I have to have nothing else going on. You guys get it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Lyman, what are you drinking out of today?
A yellow cup, yellow plastic.
Nice.
Very something, bright in the sunlight.
Something good and unbreakable. Mm-hmm.
That's gonna be another thing we're going to do with the podcast. We're bringing but that back.
Yeah, we're bringing the cups sure. back. Yeah.
Every episode.
Drinking out of cups. Hey, Mr. Drinking Out of Cups. I don't think so.
What is that you got in your hands?
This is one of the capos I don't like. I'm holding it up to the wrong camera.
Yeah, like it's been crazy the amount of growth we've seen on Instagram. Like, if you're new on Instagram and you've come here, welcome. We're happy that you're checking our stuff out and hopefully enjoying it.
Yeah, you're just watching two grown dudes ramble about guitars and not guitars. Mm-hmm. This is good. This is a very good unstructured first episode back to the podcast.
Yeah, it's classic. Classic.
This is what the podcast is all about. Us talking about how the podcast is going to get better and then us just rambling.
Okay. I get it. Let's move on to personal goals. What are you shooting for in 2019?
Yeah. Personal goals, man. I know this is like, you know, quote unquote business related, but the Lessons with Marcel YouTube account, I want to, you know, like do something crazy. I want to smash through, like, I don't know. I want to hit like 8K or something. That would be killer. But we'll see if that happens. I think I'm at 4.2 right now, something like that. I don't even know what I'm at right now.
I think you'll hit 10K this year.
Yeah, that would be sweet if I doubled again. But yeah, the other thing that I really want to do is I've been so good this last year about really uploading every week. And I think the biggest gaps that I had where I didn't upload were maybe 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks in a row. And before that I would have like months on months where I didn't upload. So, I'm really feeling good about closing that gap. This week is actually a week where I didn't upload, where I got too swamped and I didn't have time to make a video. And I'm hoping that in this next year, that'll happen even less, maybe even not at all. If I can get a video, every week, that would be great. The other thing that's happening with Lessons with Marcel, which is really exciting, is of course all the companies I'm going to be working with and the sponsorships and stuff like that, which is going to be really neat, kind of take the channel to that next level. But also the, I think the content is going to take on just a slightly broader kind of look. There's going to be some videos coming out really soon where I'm doing some like interviews with people and kind of maybe telling some life stories and trying to find some interesting people in the bluegrass community that maybe you haven't heard from. I'm trying not to spoil it too much, but yeah, I think there's going to be some cool videos that aren't just how to play this one Tony Rice lick over and over again, which I think will eventually get boring. I know it hasn't gotten boring yet, but it's going to happen. So what about you, man? You have some YouTube aspirations, don't you?
Yeah. I'm dropping a YouTube channel. It should be dropped at this point. If it's not dropped, something has gone severely wrong, or I'm exactly on course and I'm just really lazy.
Yeah. If it hasn't dropped, we should deploy the emergency podcast. The problem is we already deployed it.
Yeah. We need to make it a new one. We need to have it in the wings. But like, as I'm sure two of you know, I took on a big project for 2018, and that was releasing two lo-fi hip-hop tracks, jazz, bass, every week for the better part of a year. Like, I did all the way from February to the beginning of November without missing a date, and kind of floundered towards the end. I have stuff that's ready to release. I'm probably just going to batch release it. That was a lot of fun. It was a challenge. And I definitely grew a lot doing that. But I think I'm going to take on another challenge this year, and that's transcribing two things every week, like two solos or two tunes. I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go yet. I've already started transcribing some stuff. This is probably going to be my first video, a transcription of Sonny Rollins playing Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. And that was a very important recording for me when I was coming up, when I was, 17, 18. I learned a lot from that recording, but I never fully transcribed the entire piece. I just did that, and there's a lot of cool little bebop nuggets, some phrasing nuggets. There's a bunch of cool stuff in there, and I really can't wait to talk about it. I just want to do more transcribing. I want to do more production. I want to produce more singer-songwriters. I just want to make music in 2019, I guess. I guess always the goal.
Yeah, that sounds great, man. Transcription is such a great way to grow. If you're a musician right now and you aren't transcribing, or whether that's sheet music or tab or whatever it is that you can do, even if it's literally writing notes in a spiral notebook or something, and you don't even have a sheet music or tab paper, just write something down, take a recording, and get as close as you can to getting it down accurately. There's so many easy ways online to slow stuff down now, and you learn so much. You have to make so many choices about where a note might be played and how they played it and what their intention was and where they're going there afterwards and how you're going to put that, on the guitar. You could have a line that's not going to go very high, so it makes sense to keep it in the same position, something like. But if a line's going to go higher, then yeah, you have to put it in a new position for it to make sense. Right? You have to move your hand higher up the neck to make that line finish. Transcription teaches you a lot about your instrument that you might not already know.
Yeah, especially if you're transcribing things that aren't guitar things.
Definitely.
Transcribing a saxophone player, you have a ton of decisions to make. I'm gonna play this C, bruh. All those B's, I missed a couple, but
I can them. Yeah. Or if you're transcribing something off a different chordal instrument, like an organ or something, that's crazy fun to do, and that's super difficult. And it doesn't even have to be don't feel like you have to pick amazing music. You can do it with whatever's fun or funny. I did it with that stupid Andy Kim song, Rock Me Gently, that's bad Neil Diamond kind of ripoff, just stupid. It's trash music, but it's got a sick organ solo in it. And I was I'm going to transcribe that for guitar. And I worked on that for a long time, and I finally got it so it made sense on the instrument. And I felt so good about that. Just not good music. I was just what if I took just this outrageous organ solo and I just tried really hard to make it make sense on a guitar,
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a really good way to get out of, guitar traps, as I like to call them.
Yeah.
If I could bend, I would do the. I can't bend on these strings, but stuff that, getting out of those, guitar based things. There you go. Copy strike.
But yeah, you know, Lyman knows because I send him this stuff, but like I did an arrangement of like the me theme and I tried to transcribe the whatever it is, piano or synth part, you know, as well as I could and put it on the guitar, which was super hard and it came out super unique. I've never released it. I mean, I probably should just because I think it's actually pretty good. It's very difficult, but it's very good.
Can you play it yet?
No, I can. Maybe I can fake like the beginning of it. That's all you get. But yeah, I can. I did that. Of course, I did a transcription of Nyan Cat too. I mean, I've transcribed like a lot of like silly things just because it like keeps your brain going and it's, you know, like a real challenge to keep working. So don't feel like you have to start with something like super hard. You can start with something fun.
Yeah.
What happens when you like sit down and you try to remember like the Jurassic Park theme song like as well as you can? And then what happens when you turn on the recording and you're like, what other notes are going on here? Like, how can I get it on my instrument?
Absolutely. That is a great exercise. But
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I don't know the other part. Yes, thank you. But like, this is, you know, guitar professional goals for the next year. But what are you got any personal goals or New Year's resolutions, so to speak, that you feel like sharing?
Yeah, I mean, I only have guitar-related stuff because guitar is all I do in my life. I just live in this one room and play guitar. Yeah, I think my big goal is to, and I've talked about this a lot on the podcast, but I think my big goal for the new year is to try to get better about all of the repertoire stuff. And there's so much of that, no matter what genre you're doing. And you might not think of some genres as being repertoire heavy, but they all are. And, you know, especially this new band taking on more country and honky-tonk stuff and all of the bluegrass fiddle tunes I don't know. There's so much music that I have to listen to that it feels like everyone else has listened to, and I just got to get better about it and, like, try to keep up more. And that's something that kills me. And I know Lyman feels this way, too. And Lyman has said on the podcast that he's more of a music player than a music listener, which is, you know, a crazy thing to say, but I identify with that pretty hard some days. But yeah, you meet these people who, you know all these tunes and know all the recordings to a T, and I think I need to do a better job of keeping up. And I think a lot of that has to do with just listening to more music when I actually have time. But when you're working with all this video editing and sort of recording and all of this kind of stuff, a lot of times your ears are taken up, so it's hard to find time to listen, but that's definitely my big goal.
Like when I'm driving, like that's the prime time to listen to music. And I would much rather, like, after doing music related stuff all day, you know, either driving to or from something music related, I'm just going to turn on a podcast at that point.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's really easy to get your ears kind of burned out, ear fatigue.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. I have two New Year's resolutions, one guitar related, one not. The guitar related one is to be able to play over giant steps because I've been hacking away at it for the last 10 years and making little to no progress.
So, have you seen the really terrible video of they built a robot that plays a saxophone that plays over giant steps and it just sounds like trash?
Yeah, I have.
Maybe it's that's incredible. What I mean to the people, but it swings like a robot. Like it's it's not great.
I would go as far to say that it doesn't swing at all.
If you ever wanted to hear a robot play like super straight eighth notes over giant steps on the saxophone, there's a video out there for you.
So yeah, I want to finally learn how to play giant steps. And my personal New Year's resolutions is to remove the phrases "I'm like" and "I was like" from my vocabulary.
Man, I'm totally like, how are you going to do that?
like, it's going to be hard. Like, you know, I was like, this is going to be too hard.
Like, you know, Lyman said, like, I'm not going to like say that anymore. And I was like, you know, like, that sounds really tough, you know? Like, you know, I think is a better one. You should remove like, you know, that's terrible. It's the worst. Like, you know,
like, you know, like, what I try to do is like, you know, just like, yeah. Shout out to Justin Long's character from Idiocracy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think like, oh, damn it, I just did it. I think. I'm already a slow talker anyway, but if I slow down my speech a little bit,
yeah.
Instead of using the phrase, I was like, I could use a phrase, the phrase, it was as if I were to, or something along those lines.
Yeah, definitely need more tiny words in there, you know?
Yeah. I'm not trying to be smart. I'm just trying to sound smart. That's the goal of this.
Yeah.
This year. Not gain any knowledge, but just appear like I gained a little bit of knowledge.
And you want actually smart people to know that you're putting in the work, you know? Hey, look, yes. Look at that guy. He's not smart like us, but he's trying, you know? No, I get it. That's a good spot to be in.
Well, I think we're running out of time.
Yeah, we're kind of up against it. Thanks. I guess thanks for listening to our first episode. I kind of don't want it to end.
Yeah, it's been good getting back into the seat. I have a desk now. I'm no longer stacking my computer on a cardboard box.
Wow, that's awesome, dude. You're moving on up in the world.
Yeah, I've got a desk with a piano on it, like a keyboard.
Oh, sweet. You got like a whole workstation.
Yeah, it's also my kitchen. So,
let me
welcome to my kitchen.
Let me play you a classic rock riff to congratulate you.
That's the best classic rock.
I like that. I didn't even play it right.
Where can the people find you and us?
Yeah, man. If you're looking for Jazz and Grass as a duo, of course, this podcast, you've already found it. Well done. But you can check us out on Instagram. That's at Jazz and Grass. We post a new guitar lick every single day, except for Sunday, which is when these podcasts come out every other week. I post on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Lyman posts on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Lyman posts the jazz licks. I post the bluegrass licks. That's the whole deal. If you're looking for me specifically, you can find me at Lessons with Marcel, and that's on YouTube. And I post bluegrass-related videos every single Wednesday if everything goes according to plan. And a lot of them have to do with famous guitar players like Jake Workman or Tony Rice or Molly Tuttle, all about teaching their material and how to do it. I also do collections of licks, you know, like, hey, 10 advanced bluegrass guitar licks, that kind of thing. There's a bunch to check out. You can also check out my website, lessonswithmarcel.com. That's where you can order transcriptions of your favorite songs. You can hop on my Skype lessons, or you can go to my tab store and you can buy some tabs there. I also have some merch out. Man, there's so much to say. It's just, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I got my hand in a lot of cookie jars, but definitely check all that out.
I'm Lyman Lipke. You can find me at lymanlipke.com. That's where you can find all the lo-fi tracks that I released on SoundCloud. I have a blog now where I break down the Jazz and Grass lick that I posted that day. So you can check that out if you want to dive deeper into what I did. That's pretty much all I have. Like, you can get a lesson from me. No, and I'll transcribe Lyman, something wait, from you.
Lyman, this is the future. You got to remember your YouTube page is out.
Oh, yes, yes. You can check me out on YouTube, Lyman Lipke. The picture of me is all blurry. I'll link it in the description. I don't know what it's called yet. I'm pretty sure it's just called Lyman Lipke.
Yeah, perfect. Wonderful. Also, don't forget to check out Lyman's dubstep Christmas album.
Yep, link in the description. I've also got an Instagram account, Lyman Lipke Musician. You can find me there. There will be, you know, gig pictures and little instructional tidbits. There'll be a lot more bass material there as well. That's what I do for a job. I bass for a job.
All right. We'll see you all next time. Bye.
Bye.